The Navy announced yesterday it is changing the status of Navy pilot Lieutenant Commander Michael Scott Spiker from killed in action to missing in action. Spiker was shot down over Iraq January 17, 1991, the first night of action in the Persian Gulf War. Most of the information in this case remains classified. Bob Burns, Pentagon correspondent for the Associated Press, says the circumstances surrounding this case have been confusing from the start.
Actually, on the very night that his plane went down, the Pentagon, in announcing that this was the first loss of the war, said, in fact, that the pilot had been killed. Very shortly after that, they reversed themselves and said that it was unclear and that he would be in the status of missing in action. And then about 2 months later, in May of 1991, the Navy went through a formal process of approving what they call a finding of death to declare that he, in fact, had died. And that's now been reversed with this new decision
and
almost 10 years later.
In 1995, the Defense Department sent some investigators in, crash site specialists, with the Red Cross into Iraq with Baghdad's permission. What did they find, and is it credible evidence, do you think?
Well, the Pentagon certainly considers the evidence they found at that time to be credible, and they said that their analysis of the wreckage that was still there indicated that it had blown up in the air, that the plane had lost power, and that Spiker had probably ejected from the canopy, or ejected the canopy and had escaped the aircraft, which added to the suspicion that, in fact, he could have survived the whole thing.
What else did they find?
They said that they found the flight suit and that the condition of the flight suit and other equipment that they described as life support equipment suggested that he was at least injured.
In 1994, this is an interesting thing, U.S. spy satellite pictures indicated a man-made symbol at what was believed to have been the crash site.
That's right. And that, along with some other evidence which has not been disclosed publicly, has, in its totality, convinced the Navy Secretary, Richard Danzig, that it's possible that Commander Spiker survived the crash and therefore the possibility that he could be accounted for yet by the Iraqi government.
Well, that leads us to the 60 Minutes broadcast in May of last year. An Iraqi defector in Jordan told, this is according to 60 Minutes, tells U.S. officials that he had driven an alert American pilot from the desert to Baghdad, and that defector was able to identify Spiker's photograph out of a group of pictures.
That would be some of the most dramatic evidence that is known publicly anyway, that this pilot did not die in the crash. I don't know if it certainly has not been confirmed in public by the Navy or anyone else that Spiker had been seen alive, but there are various indications, and that's just one of the most dramatic ones.
What about Commander Spiker's family?
My understanding is that the family situation has been complicated somewhat by the fact that his wife at the time has since remarried. His mother and father are now the ones who are being kept informed by the Navy of the situation and, in fact, were directly notified yesterday of the decision to change the status to missing.
What is the next step here? What happens now?
At the moment, the government, through the State Department, is hoping that the Iraqi government will make some response to its new plea that they account for Spiker, either dead or alive. The Iraqi government, to my understanding, has not been at all cooperative in providing any kind of information about what they may know about him. And they've made a new plea through diplomatic channels for Baghdad to provide some kind of explanation.
Bob Burns, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bob Burns is the Pentagon correspondent for the Associated Press.